How soon are we from actually being in closed session?
Now, we're on.
Okay. There's nobody in the room that shouldn't be there?
No.
I am.
We're good. There, just so you know, Bob, we've got Mark and Gary and I, and then Carrie and Roy. That's it.
Okay. If I can start off with the Mike Moyale issue, I've been purposely guarded in my comments with reference to Mr. Moyale. He's a neighbor of mine. I think it would be a mistake to involve our legal services in direct negotiation with him. I believe that our legal department should work directly with his attorneys, okay, and make sure that we've got any and all available information that would be germane to this particular conversation. Mike's intent, I believe, is to use our attorneys to perform his due diligence. And I think his threats of lawsuit are real, and I think we should take him seriously, but I think any involvement with this district to expand this conversation over and above the heroic work that both Paul and Roy have done in dealing with him should be done attorney to attorney. We should insist that he identify legal representation so that we can very carefully go through these issues. There were so many misstatements in his communication, it was hard for me to even begin to catalog them. So that's where I land on this whole issue with him.
I think it's a good idea. Plus, it raises the cost of him pushing this. So for all those reasons, I would say that's a great move.
Yeah. He's telling us basically that he has information he's unwilling to share, yet somehow he wants our legal opinion.
Yeah. And that helps condition his attorney, too. So, you know, as his attorney comes to the realization that he doesn't have a case,
right.
That helps.
Don't do it. Don't let him contact Rachel. Make him have his attorney get involved.
Yep. No, I think during the meeting, though, the staff would contact our attorney and get everything, and then that would be the case. I that's what I understood.
Well, I don't know. He's looking for, I don't even want to say what I think is going on here.
Well, whatever the case is, let's just proceed with where we are on that and have the attorney get back to us. Is that Matt Jensen that's going to look at that, Dan? Who's going to look at that, Roy? Or is it Rachel?
Rachel right now is the one that's been dealing with it and gathering information. I don't know. Bob, what do you think? Think she's strong enough to handle
it? Well, I mean, it's all good, but she can't make a determination. This is not a straightforward issue. All this sort of historical stuff he talks about is very soft. Arguably, at this point, he has one connection at the top of the hill. You know, I don't mind a feasibility letter, and if he goes through the hoops with the county, issuing him a will serve letter for one connection. But anything over that, including discussions about his development rights in the absence of his attorney, I think is a mistake.
I don't see any reason not to do what you're saying, Bob. I mean, unless there's a legal reason, and it's, you know, and that way we'll know by the time we have to make the next determination, whether we have any exposure to a threatened lawsuit. And if we do, then we'll take different action than if we don't. You know, whatever. I think that's sage advice, personally.
I'm good with that. I don't know that we need to. I'm good with that. We won't have any motion or action, but let's just.
No radio either in your new truck.
What's that?
No radio either.
Yeah, no tires.
Yeah.
What else do we have? I've got one thing in closed session. Well, it doesn't have to be in closed session. It can be open. But I'd like an attendance rule. Can you get me an attendance rule of how you've counted whether trustees are present or not present over the last year?
Yeah.
I'd appreciate that.
So I have a couple more matters that I want to discuss.
Trustee Barrett, go ahead.
You know, last meeting we had discussions about the issues related to Wolf Creek Irrigation Company. Briefly, our intention to convert irrigation shares to mitigation shares. Roy has advanced that conversation, from my understanding, with our attorney, and I believe I certainly believe, that the next step would be once Don Arnett is able to deal with some personal issues, unfortunately, that he's dealing with, is for us to actually generate the certified letter notifying Wolf Creek Irrigation Company that we intend to pursue the share conversion option. It was something that we discussed at last meeting. I believe it's gained additional levels of traction at this point. I believe it's our best option, and importantly in my meeting, I think that we need to de facto abandon any further negotiations on what we would had been previously describing as sort of the mitigation negotiations, which are hopelessly failed at this point. Roy, what are you thinking about this whole thing?
Yeah, I think you're right on target, Bob. That's exactly what the attorney has said too. He said that, and I wasn't able to really talk about that too much until we get into a closed session, but he has analyzed it extensively, and he said that our best option still is the shareholders' rights. He said, I don't see any benefit of negotiating. Because I said, I told him, I don't want to get into this thing and spend a lot of money and then go back to them and be trying to negotiate again.
Just kidding.
Yeah. Right. So he said there's no reason to. There's nothing to be gained by it. He said, he feels confident.
Can we get a sense of the board on how people feel about this? I mean, Gary and Mark specifically.
I'm kind of deferring to you on this, Bob, just because you guys have been doing the negotiating and you have a sense of where you think it's going. One thing, though,
it's a dead horse with these guys. It really is.
Last time we met, though, you said time was of the essence. And should we engage a different attorney to do this letter?
No, this is the guy that we're using, the guy that we agreed to hire.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the problem is that we actually would have been much further along on this, but we need Don Barnett's involvement, and his father died right in the middle of everything, and so he's been out of sync. And so also, when we first contacted after the meeting, we had gone to the shareholder meeting, and the Wolf Creek people were gracious and very kind to us and very respectful and everything, and we got a chance to talk to them. They're nice. They're very nice people. They, after the meeting, we went and approached each one of them individually and spoke with them. And then we went and talked to the president, and we said, we're not comfortable with the recent draft of the agreement, and it needs to be altered or changed. We have some concerns about it. He said, well, what's wrong with it? And we said, well, there's about 7 or 8 items that you've included now that were never in the first draft, and we need those taken out, or we need to talk to you about them. And he said, well, that's the board's decision. You're just going to basically have to like it or lump it. Yeah. And so we said, well, it won't work. And he said, well, then you're going to have to get hold of the attorneys and let them fix it, because we're not going to budge. So I said, okay. At that point, it looks like we don't have any further discussion, and we didn't have any choice but to move to the shareholder rights. So that's when we contacted several different firms. Talked to the Attorney General's office. We spoke with the State Engineer's office. Say, who do you think's out there that's good at this? And there was one that was really good, and actually it was Brent Rose's office, but unfortunately they're tied up with Summit. And so Steve Clyde was one of them that they mentioned. But they said Matt would be incredible, would do a really great job, and they recommended him, the Attorney General. So after we contacted him, he said, yes, I'd be available. He took some time past our meeting, and the next week he was actually out of town on the spring break with everybody else. So that killed another week, and then we got into the next week, and he was looking at his conflicts of interest, and so we analyzed that. That burned another week. Then we got the next week, and Don's father passed away, and here we are now 4 weeks out.
Okay.
So that's what's killed us on time. But he was comfortable with it. He's been analyzing it, and he just needs a little bit more data that Don has. But he's ready to jump on and move ahead. So now with this, we'll get that engagement letter signed by the chairman and get him rolling. And he and I can be talking and moving ahead as fast as we can.
Okay. And do we have a status update on Wolf Creek's change of terms, whatever they were going to do with the reason we were trying to speed this forward is to preempt any change in their
vote. Yeah, they didn't act like they were going to. In the meeting, they were talking about their finances, and they're broke. That's why they want us to chase after their attorneys, because they do not have any money. They have zero money in the bank. And in fact, they're asking the state to forgive them of years' payments to survive. They spent all their money on litigation.
Is there just a simple, hey, it's 15 shares plus you know, $30,000? Can we just give them some cash, and would they be more amenable?
It doesn't appear that they're,
hello,
they're pretty dug in.
Okay, because we're going to spend, you know, that kind of money on an attorney, right?
Well, if we go the shareholders' rights option, the law says that we will pay for all the legal costs. Anyway.
Okay, hold theirs on. Ours. Trustee Barron.
Among my biggest fears, quite honestly, on this whole matter is that we file the letter, which seems like a firm recommendation. I certainly feel that's the next step for us. And then Wolf Creek Irrigation Company contacts us basically and says, oh, let's talk about that other document that we had. How can we make that work for you guys? Essentially, we would be paying legal fees for those conversations, and they would expect us to pay those legal fees as well. So, and I told Paul Roy this, my feeling is send the letter and then freeze all further negotiations on that previous agreement and just wait the 120 days and see what happens. I think that's the most prudent course. I really think that that's the call.
Yeah, what they're gonna claim is that they have protection under the existing bylaws. It says that you can't transfer water out of their boundaries, but essentially they have done that previously anyway. Bob, if I understand it, even with Summit's mitigation, they've actually done the same thing that they're telling us that they can't do.
Is an outcropping of the complicated development agreement.
I thought settlement
with Summit.
Set a precedent.
Staples sold 15 shares to Summit, basically, and moved that water out of the district.
I thought you guys were saying it wasn't moving anything out of the district, since we're just doing water mitigation shares that stay in the district. Isn't that what you said last month?
No, it moves out of Wolf Creek's district.
If we do the shareholders' rights, it moves it out of the district. If we just mitigate and under agreements, it stays in the district.
I gotcha.
We give them their water. Back. But they're not willing to do that, and they also have all kinds of erroneous conditions that we can't live by.
Okay.
So that's why we're having to do this. So, again, that was the fear, is that we'd run up against that. The attorney feels pretty confident that he can bring us to some type of a fair resolution of the whole thing. Mm-hmm. There one other complication that we found is that when the shares were purchased, the Kobabes in their agreements with us said we would not do anything that would go against Wolf Creek Irrigation Company's bylaws in purchasing these, that we would comply with all of their requirements. So I don't know that anybody knows about that, but that's out there, so that could be a risk. So I don't know.
Okay.
Again, we just have to rely on a good attorney to give us his best advice and dig into it, and hopefully before we get too far along that he'll say this is either good or a bad decision.
And keep in mind there's an option C. It's not just the shareholders' conversion letter. It's not just the rework that sort of failed negotiations. It's the do-nothing option. Don Barnett believes that we could make a valid argument that no mitigation is required during the irrigation season at Kobe. Their senior water rights are for surface water, basically, during the irrigation system. Kobabe is a well. It's a deep well. We may be able to ultimately do nothing and succeed at Kobabe.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what Don's partner, Scott, in our meetings up with Cache Valley,
right,
during that meeting, he said that's what I would suggest to you is just do nothing. Just drill your well, get it equipped, and pump what you need, and not even chase that thing at all.
So, yep.
It's an option. We'll look at that too. But yeah.
So last question. In terms of it seems like one way around all this is we just stored up a whole ton of water prior to irrigation season, given that we have low summer demand. I know that's expensive, but that's also a possibility or no? Or
I don't know. It has probably to do where we have our points of distribution coming from.
So, I don't know. So you think you couldn't do it, or just have to think about it?
Well, storage is the holy grail, but it's very expensive, Gary.
No, I know.
We've got we've got 200 acre feet in Cache County. The district has a water right over there that's unapproved that could represent a retention basin where spring water would be collected and could be used during the irrigation system. But that's way over by actual Hidden Lake, the lake itself.
Gotcha.
I think we're stuck. We're basically stuck with just any of those other three options that we've described.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, it looks like it's two million gallons, give or take.
Yep.
Okay.
Guess it's always a thought for the future. Everybody spent a lot of money, but put some tanks up there.
Yeah.
So what's your board? What's your flavor? What do you want to do?
I want to launch that letter and see what happens. Rely on the sound legal advice that we've obtained so far.
And that's where we agreed last time. So I certainly agree as well.
I support that. Looks like we have a consensus of the board, then. All right.
Okay.
Anything else you have?
Can we just talk about the sewer easement thing, which I didn't, I got in, I didn't understand everything you were saying, but is there a, is there a way we could spin off or do, so for two things, first of all, this whole we can't condemn the property question, right? So first of all,
we have not to.
No, I know, but you know, to this thing with Mike Moyal, right, we have an easement that we negotiated with Greg Morrow, right, with Summit, and we have what Mike's saying, which let's pretend is true for a sec, would be at odds with that, and presumably we would have to unwind one or the other. Same question with the statutory question about can't condemn. It seems like an odd thing to say that the state, you know, a government entity can't condemn. Do we know that?
I don't
know.
If you agree to that with somebody and it's in writing, would you agree that you would never condemn?
So then,
I don't know.
Then question number two, is there some sort of legal entity change we could make to get out of that can't condemn? Could we spin off?
I think the language even in there, it says if you change anything, you're still bound by it. It's the most, you ought to read that. If you've read that agreement, I read through that thing. They covered every loophole there was to get out of this thing.
So then I guess the last question is, I mean, from a legal perspective, sometimes there are contracts that are too strict and that on further review can be nullified because they're too strict. Have we investigated any of that stuff?
No, I guess that's what I'm suggesting, that we probably find somebody that's probably a better attorney. I mean, that attorney was pretty smart. but we need somebody that's pretty keen, pretty well adapted to laws. But I think if somebody were to study that and they were good at contracts, I think they could find a way out. But I think Mark's comment seems to be, as I read the agreement, is the most valid thing, that basically somebody else has to buy out Yamagata and work out a deal with us. That's really about the only thing I can see, any safe way out.
Yeah.
Everything else, from what I can tell, they figured every avenue out that you would ever get, changing companies, building other facilities, giving away to other people, basically said if you did any of that, they're still on the hook. They were good.
You know, Roy?
Yeah.
Summit actually has had two separate attorneys. This is out of Greg Morrow's mouth to me. Review our lease, basically.
Uh-huh.
So they've gone deep into our lease and understand any sort of exit strategies that might be in play there. Mark has outlined very briefly what may ultimately represent the best case scenario, is that we do participate in some sort of convoluted land swap deal. But that's going to cost the district at a certain level. I can't imagine that the developer would do that out of the goodness of their heart. So we're going to have some district costs. An approach that strikes me as reasonable is to, once we fully understand what the easement structures are, once we fully understand the true legal constraints from legal opinion of the lease in our own eyes, that we go to Yamagata and just renegotiate this lease. There's plenty of time and capacity in those lagoons, if we manage our infiltration, to use those lagoons for the foreseeable future. If we renegotiate that lease with Yamagata and give him more money on, say, a per connection basis, we could continue to use those leases, those lagoons.
Yeah, I think the lagoons are in good enough shape. They'll be good for a number of years.
Let's get our ducks in order and approach Yamagata and see what is it going to take to avoid a legal brouhaha with him.
One of the things that concerns me is that the lease is terms have expired. So we're on a month. We should be on a month to month.
We've been on a month-to-month for the past 4 years.
He's never exercised that or challenged us on it. I don't know what we would do. If we were to have to renegotiate this thing every month, that would be terrible.
Well, one thing, too, is I think there's a, and this is just an anecdote, but I was told by someone that knows him that he told them a story that he was flying over the property and someone pointed down and said, hey, you own that property. And he had no idea he even owned the property.
Oh, nice.
So, I mean, it might be kind of an out of sight, out of mind thing. It scares me since we don't control our own destiny.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly.
Yes.
Good, thanks.
Yeah, that is the most terrifying part is that we have no control over that whatsoever. And yeah, it's public infrastructure. And I'm not sure how any agreement could control that. It seemed like a judge would rule in our favor in anything, but
yeah, I mean, that's where I thought we landed. And I mean, I gotta tell you, there's rumors. The rumor mill is very uncertain about how that lease was even entertained into who was involved in that, under what circumstances was our board involved to sign a stupid lease like that. I mean, there may be room to actually investigate the legalities of the initial conversations.
You know, one last question. So first of all, can you guys send me a copy of the lease?
Sure.
Would you mind?
Yeah.
So if we're on a month-to-month lease, if we stop, couldn't we just stop and then take it over? Condemn it or whatever our powers are? I mean, if we...
I mean, read the lease first, Gary.
Yeah, you want to read the lease. This is what you do. You'll clean it up and put it back in its state that it was pre Powder Mountain at all expenses.
The lease is booby trapped. That's how some of the attorneys described it.
Really?
Okay. Every turn. Yeah. And maybe he's the kind of person that maybe would just sit down and renegotiate. I don't know. I hate to open up the Pandora's box until we know we have an exit strategy of some type.
Right.
Okay. Absolutely.
Okay. From a money perspective, on the list of things we have to do, we still have to pay $2 million to connect this well we're building, right, that we haven't talked about yet?
We don't know what that costs, I don't think.
Has it gone down now that Paul's not in the room?
It's estimated somewhere around $2 million.
Be careful.
All right.
Anything else for the discussion of this board?
Jim, you and I had this discussion this morning, and it revolves around board members and their ethical responsibilities and statutory responsibilities in the area of ethics. I've been concerned for some time that individual board members may or may not have received financial considerations or other considerations from customers or other potential interests within our district. Now, my understanding is that if you do receive considerations, in order to stay legal, you need to disclose those considerations that you have received. I'm very concerned as to whether or not individual board members are receiving or have received any form of financial compensation or consideration in any form from anybody within our district. And I'm not sure that we pushed this issue to the point of insisting on full disclosure.
Well, that's put very nicely. Do we need to spell that out here?
I think I get it.
Yeah. It's also...
What are the next steps here? I myself have not taken one single penny from anybody at any time since I was appointed to the board. if there are other board members, now we understand fully Mark Schrotel's relationship with Summit. He's a salaried employee that was recognized on day one. But I think it's a requirement, unless I misread the ethical standards statute, that individual board members fully disclose any financial or other considerations they have received over and above their prescribed salary in the discharge of their duties as board members.
Is there a form we should just maybe distribute and go over at our next meeting for everybody or
we've
something?
Done that.
It was distributed, and I'm not comfortable with the level of compliance, Gary.
Is there an inspector general or?
I don't know. We don't have Rachel in the room, obviously, but.
If it becomes an issue, it'll become an issue with the legislative auditors who will become an issue with.
What are you thinking about this, Roy? I mean, can you help me understand that?
Well, it's just, it probably will never be an issue unless somebody raises it, but the person who would raise it or who would deal with it if it became an issue would be, you'd be a legislative audit. And if they ever come to call, they will dig underneath your feelings to see what they can find.
Well, the best
to do is if you recognize there's any problems out there, is find a way to deal with them.
Well, so just to talk about it for a second, I mean, the current board as you're constituted today, I mean, I think we've pretty much taken every decision unanimously, and I think we would also be. At least I feel comfortable that there's certainly a plethora of folks in that majority who would be conflict free or at least able to do the right thing despite institutional conflict.
I think it's a matter of disclosure, Gary. It's a requirement that you disclose.
I get that. That's a criminal kind of thing, right? Not disclosing. The statutes are, I don't feel good
if it's not disclosed by individual board members.
Are all of you, and I'm talking to you as well, Bob, on this, but Mark, Gary, myself included, would any of you have an issue that we all receive that form again? I'll send out a letter on behalf, or if you'll type the letter, Carrie, and then come from me that I'd like this completed by X date, and have all of us turn it in so that we have full disclosure, whether we have or haven't. Then all of us can be right up front, and then we address it. We just hit it head on. And then we can use those things and further that once that we've had those, whether people act on those or don't, then we can take and push it to the next thing because we need to make sure that we're totally transparent on this board. I've got no issue with that, and I've been really careful with that. Another thing is that each trustee member receives compensation for being on this board. We're talking about funds outside of that compensation, just to speak clearly on that. So I don't think if somebody ever pulls it up, we all have that turned in. But with regards to that compensation, I don't know how that goes out. Does everyone receive a check whether they're here or not, just because of being on the board? We may need to change those bylaws, because if you don't, Just to stay on the board to get a check is not, to me, that's disingenuous.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah,
I would agree with that.
So true, Jim.
So that's another reason, Carrie, I've actually asked for the attendance role. And not to really go after anybody, but we need to have people who can contribute. We've made some pretty tough decisions, and it'd be nice to have just another person carrying the water. That's all there's to it, so.
Is that a pun?
So to speak. Yeah, I guess it could be. Carrying the water up the hill.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You'd get paid $2 million if you did it enough.
Yeah. Any more? I appreciate you bringing that up, Bob. Thank you. Is there any more discussion? Kerry, if you'll get that letter, I'd like to have that maybe 2-3 weeks, just a letter, with, and we'll just send it to everybody. I'll sign it, and we'll include the form, and we'll ask them to have that turned in by X date. Please bring it to your, even bring it, it's expected to be returned by the next board meeting. Yeah. Each board member, you know, if you haven't received anything, then just write 0 in there and sign it and return it.
Is it the right form? I mean, does it have the right language that you're signing at the bottom that makes it legally binding?
There's a declaration form. You give
it out. I'll pull out the form. It's the one that everybody signed. Okay. So we'll pull it out and we'll verify it and make sure it's
and
the
right one. If we only need to attach one or two people, then we'll just be specific. The letter can say I've received everyone's form, but da 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 da, and I'll make the letter specific, not to all board members, but to specific board members.
And what's the time frame?
Well, I'd like those letters back by the next board meeting. But,
I mean the time frame that it has to cover. Is it the last year? Is it ever?
I understand you have to sign it once a year.
Yes.
I know, so, but what is it? I mean, you know, someone, you know, got something 2 years ago. Does that show up on
No, the it's just, mm-hmm. it's basically, what I'd like to do is have something, the last time it was either a month or two ago, but it's in for elected officials, it's for the calendar year 2017. And then we'd have another one for 2018.
Okay.
So we'll have to do it again, but we could make it a part of the January meeting every year. Mm-hmm. And whether you're still elected or not, if you know, for instance, if I go off this board tomorrow, I'd still get that form next year calling for an audit of 2018. And that's just part of getting into mm-hmm. this part of what you do here. I just, you know,
yep.
That's the least you could do with the compensation given by being a trustee on the board. So, any more discussion on this? Then I'll entertain a motion to leave the private or our closed session into public.
I'll make that motion.
I've got a
second.
Patel and second by Bob on that. Great. We're back in public hearing.
Hold on.